Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, Larry Miller joins us after what's been a while, and we'll play the hypothetical quarantine game with Larry. Remember, there's no losers, and then he'll hang around. We'll do the news as well, but we'll have some fun and some good story time with the great Larry Miller. First, I'll tell you about JB Weld DIY projects to get through. Want to save money? Want to avoid paying the repairman? Yeah, me too. Big or small repairs, home or garage, ordinary household glue? Well, it's ordinary. You need strong. Strong is better. Ordinary is bad, and JB Weld is good. We're proud to have JB Weld as a sponsor. They're great. I know the owner personally. Pros, and I hung out with these guys at their booth at SEMA in Vegas a few years ago, and they came on as sponsors. They're proudly made in the USA. Keep JB Weld in your toolbox, kitchen drawer, craft room for metal, for wood, plastic. You don't glue it. You JB Weld it. It's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. It is JB Weld.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from HDS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for a brand new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This shipment includes a bug bite thing to suck out any mosquito bites you get while drinking Mangria in the summer sun. A you can frisbee here frisbee, perfect for tossing at the beaches Newsom won't let you go to. An ACS koozie to keep your beer cold. And most importantly, let people know that this beer is yours. A ready patch for those who get a little rosy from drinking too many cold beers. And, of course, a bottle of your choice. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Order one or keep the shipments coming at CorollaDrinks.com.
Well, Larry Miller, our old friend, is back on the show. Perfect timing. So good to speak to you, my friend.
Same here. I have to start by telling you that I'm listening to you talk about secret codes or things to say or to get into someplace, and it reminded me of when we were all baby comics back in New York. I had heard of a secret place, like from The Untouchables. Now, by the way, this is where, you know, they had a door with something that slid open, a little thing where an eye level, and that had drinks and gambling, and one of the other comics, Pete, and I decided to go there. We'd never done anything like that. We weren't babies. And they said, remember, you say, you know Joe. And so we knocked on the door. That thing slid open. There was a guy's eyes looking out at us. And I said, we know Joe. And he said, well, yeah, I'm Joe. And he said, I don't know you. You don't know me. And he slid it shut again. And then a nicely dressed couple came up and they knocked. And they said something or other, and they got in. And so we went back again because we're just, you know, we're just idiots anyway, and knocked on the door again. And he slid it open, same guy, and said, could we still kind of just come in? And he said, no, and shut it. And I still don't know what they did. I guess it's gambling. It's blackjack and poker or roulette or something, and a bar. But not if you say you know Joe when you don't.
Larry, who are some of the guys you started off with or out with back in the early days of your stand-up career?
Well, Seinfeld, Reiser, Schiff, Brogan, Leifer, but that was the crew. We were the crew of friends, and boy, we were there 7 nights a week. Without the concept of taking a night off, it wasn't even real. Take a night off. We were there and on stage every single night, and every so often on a rare, crazy night when they had an audition night, that's when we would do something like, either go to a gambling speakeasy that we couldn't get in from 1923, or once we went to the feast of St. Gennaro,
mm-hmm.
Four of us, we had our uniforms on in a sense of the, well, khaki pants and the Brooks Brothers shirt and just loafers we saw down an alley. It's about 50 feet deep, just 10 feet wide, nothing there. There's no stores, nothing. And this is a very crowded thing, the Feast of St. Gennaro. And so we just took a few steps in there because it looked like a group of guys was in the back, and they were. It was about 10 guys shooting crap. And they, that was exciting enough. We were going to go to the back to the comic strip after this. And I kind of squatted down and took a $10 bill out and laid it down there, got the dice. And I won. I got a 7 and won. And whoa, look at that. And I reached for it. And then one of the other guys who was running the game, if that's what you want to call it, put his hand on my arm, the arm I was using to reach for the money. And that hand, I'm telling you, this guy made Luca Brasi look like Pat Boone. And this, he put his hand on my arm and said his version of, we give that money to the church. But his version was for the church. And I looked. Now, who doesn't understand that, by the way? That hand on your arm. Right. Anyone need more information than that? And I said, okay. And they're just looking at me for a second. So I took out another 10 and put that down over the money I'd already won. And I won again. And this time, this guy was so strong and cool. He didn't have to do anything. He was wearing a suit. That was their uniform, the suit.
What year do you think this was?
82, something like that. And I won again, but I didn't reach for it, and he didn't put his hand on my arm again. I mean, you need more of an information than that? And then on the third time, he didn't say get out. The third time, I took out another 10 and bet it and won, but didn't take the money, and then just said to him, he wasn't looking at me, and I just said, may I go now? And he just looked at me for a second and just didn't say anything. Just said, what the head? Just jerked his head, meaning scram. And that was just an interesting code of, you know, now how, why would I think, and the four of us with our khaki pants and topsiders, why would we think we can just walk into one of their games in their home down in Little Italy and just take money that you win?
I don't know. Maybe it was a different time, or maybe we were just at a different age, but I would oftentimes just walk into parties or walk into events. I've told the story more than once that when I got into a fight with someone in Palm Springs because I was sitting in someone's cabana or bungalow that I didn't even know, and the phone rang. And the guy on the other line said, you know, put Becky on the phone. I said, I don't even know who that is. And he said, you put her on the phone or I'll kick your ass. And I said, I'll be here. Come on down. I just hung up and sat in this person's bungalow until two guys showed up. And then we went out on the sidewalk and fought.
Like,
I guess I was bored off of my ass. But I mean, it was like the concept of hitchhiking. You know, grabbing rides with people, riding on the back of motorcycles with guys. I'd hopped on the back of motorcycles with guys I didn't even know. Just sort of bumming along. I used to work on my cars, and I used to work on my cars on an alley off of North Hollywood, off of Laurel Canyon, and guys would just come stumbling up and down the alley, just all kinds of strange guys up and down that alley. And they'd stop at my garage, and the door would be open, and the light would be on, and they'd start talking to me, and they explain they got into a blowout with their old lady and blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, the guy'd be sleeping on my sofa that night, like, and it was just a more casual approach to life, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, or to death.
Or but to I mean, death, right.
You know what? By the way, the end of... yes, I think in a way it is. And the end of this crap game story, by the way, was we walked out of that alley there, and one of the comics there, a guy named Mitchell, which is a great name for a guy from Long Island anyway, not necessarily to be a comic, but... He said to me, you know, that's your money. You won that money fair and square. And I looked at him for a second, and then I said, you know, I think you got a good point there. You get it.
And Larry said, I know Joe.
Yeah.
I was literally 2 hours ago, I was sitting in my mom's backyard, which is my grandparents' house backyard, and I've told you guys I built an awning and there's a little patio furniture there. And I was just sitting back there having a visit with my mom and my stepdad, and I was looking at the wall that ran along the side of the house and remembering, I didn't even say it out loud, but I added a kitchen on to my grandma's house. If you see not Taco Bell material and you see in 1985 or 86 when I made $0 on my Social Security statement, that's because I got paid $10 an hour to build a kitchen onto my grandma's house. And I was picturing the story. The concrete guy was named Mike. I met him in the alley. He was a character who did sleep on my sofa for a few nights. And there's a very interesting story, which is he had a brother. His brother also walked the alley behind Laurel Canyon, where my apartment was. His brother has got to be doing great today because his business was typewriter repair. That was his business. I remember it clearly. And his brother came over and he was helping us pour the slab, and we ran short on concrete. We had to keep running back and forth to like the Home Depot buying sacks. And by the time we got to the end of the night, it was like 8 o'clock at night, and we're sitting outside, and my grandfather had made everyone dinner. And it was like, these guys were like the Blues Brothers at the fancy restaurant. Like my, you know, his brother,
slurping.
Yeah, he's holding a glass out, and my grandmother's pouring him white wine, and he shoots it down. And he's like, hey, grandma. They call him grandma and grandpa. You can do it. And at some point, his brother has a couple of glasses of wine, gets up from the table, walks across the yard, turns his back to us. He was 20 feet away and in plain view, and he's taking a leak. Like he's taking a piss against the wall. And Mike, the contractor guy, starts yelling at his brother while he's taking a piss. What are you doing in front of the grandparents? Jesus Christ. Come on. And his brother is making this argument. I got up and walked away. His argument is I'm not pissing on your grandparents. I got up. I walked 20 feet away. I turned my back to you, and I'm pissing on the wall.
That's Emily great. Post over here.
Yes, I know.
By the way, you know what? In a weird way, for those times, if you think about it for a second, you think to yourself, you know, that actually makes sense.
Yeah, I know. But it's just, when you think about those bizarre chapters of your life of just seeing all these weird people just sort of, you know, now everyone is just crazed and off their meds and homeless, but there used to be a different strata of not quite homeless and not totally insane and not, you know, not strung out on bath salts or you know, methamphetamine, but just like sort of casual alcoholics who would get into a blowout with their old lady, and they need about 3 days. They need about 3 days just to kind of get themselves collected on your sofa, and then they'd be back again. Mm. Kind of drifter, kind of, I don't know, David Banner and the Incredible, was it Bruce Banner? I don't know, the Incredible Hulk. You know, it's like Bruce, yeah, these guys have kind of wandered around, found jobs, and then wandered somewhere else. They don't really exist anymore. Sorry,
no, Larry. They don't, but they used to. And you just reminded me, my father and his older brother, Dickie, Uncle Dickie, were tough guys. These were tough people. You could just be going to bring a pie to someone's house and have two fights right there in the open. But you didn't run. You didn't run anywhere. You just said, all right, so you have those two fights and you come by with the pie. And well, you got a fat lip and a black eye, but you did all right. And the point is, no one, if someone said to you, you're there, well, what was the fight about? You'd look at them like they were a Martian and say, about? It wasn't about anything. What's wrong with you?
What's with all these rules?
This is Brooklyn. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that was two fights.
Yeah. I remember very clearly this guy, Mike, had a huge shiner. I saw him one day. Just, I mean, you'd see guys with shiners. Guys would have black eyes. They'd have a guy, he had a shiner, you know? Yeah. And he wanted to crash on my sofa again. And I said, like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. I was at a bar. I said something to some guy about his old lady or whatever. You know, I got a shiner. You know, I need to sleep on the sofa. That's how he got through life. He can't.
Sure. That,
yes. Go ahead.
No, that's that it's a big. So I just mentioned something about his wife, and suddenly the guy wailed a big overhand right in my eye. And there was nobody said, no bartenders ever said, all right, that's it, get out of here. They'd say something, okay, just take it easy.
Right.
And that was that.
Yeah.
And there was no something like, hey, let me get you a drink to calm down. No, there's nothing. That's just cut it out.
I know.
That's it.
Everyone should have the experience of living off an alley. Because alley is the underground railroad for folks that are, there's a reason why they're not walking on the sidewalk under the streetlights. Yeah. And it's not because they're serial killers. It's that the right person may pass at the wrong time and recognize them. And so they travel, they use the alleys. Yep. And the folks that use the alleys are basically making a deal, which is I will put myself in a certain amount of danger because I am traveling in an alley and it's not light in this alley. And there could be dangerous, dicey people in this alley, but I'm not going to be recognized by someone who's driving past or the cops. So that's all travel. And when I used to work on my car off that alley, I had the strangest dudes walking up to me. I had a guy who was a Texas gunslinger, sort of quick draw champ. He was a quick draw.
Sure.
He was a quick draw champ. And then one day I said, oh, that's cool. He had competitions. And then one day he showed up at the alley. He had two plaster casts on each hand, each wrist. He had the forearm cast on both, which I thought would affect his ability to compete in the quick draw competition. I remember very clearly. And he would, he'd explain he was thrown off a horse, I think. But then also these guys always wanted, you know, they weren't hobos, but they're always like, hey, you got a cigarette? You got a beer, yeah. Like you got something laying around.
King of the road.
Yeah, that's who they were. Yeah.
Always bumming something.
Yeah, they're kind of bumming something. They weren't really, they weren't criminals per se, but you couldn't not watch them. They would steal something. Yeah, it was a different America, different time.
In my dad's area in Brooklyn, there were sections that, as Bogart said to the Nazi in Casablanca, well, there are certain parts of Brooklyn I'd advise you to stay out of.
Right.
And you know what? There were times if someone had to go back because he had $3 or $4 in his room, in his apartment, if he had to cut through, there was an Italian neighborhood, Jewish, Irish, Black, and you didn't go. Because if you did, well, you could go. That would be a shortcut, but, well, you could get in a big fight. I mean, nobody had a club. They weren't going to crack your head. They weren't going to shoot you. But three or four guys would come up, and that was that. And you had to – you stood there. You fought. You swung as hard as you could. And then by the time you got back to your friends, because they always knew someone was coming, every area, every neighborhood knew there's someone coming. They knew. And when you got back to your friends, wherever they were, well, you looked like, you know, a Jersey Joe Walcott. And so it's not – and nobody was shocked. Nobody said, holy mackerel, what happened to you? They just said, Italian, and you just nod, yeah.
Jersey Joe – I mean, there's a famous picture of what Rocky Marciano did to him. And it's in black and white, I believe, but Jersey Joe Walcott's face looks disfigured by Rocky Marciano, probably, you know, circa 1959 or something like that. I mean, there's a picture of Jersey Joe and Rocky in the, I think it was a Rocky Marciano fight, and the guy just, I mean, it's thank God it's in black and white, because if it was in high def, you'd vomit into your mouth. But those fights were so brutal back then. All right, Max Powell, I'll let you find that. I will put that. I mean, if it's the one I'm thinking of, yeah, it's the upper right one.
Ew.
I mean, it's his face, like, literally looks disfigured. I mean, those are crazy. I don't know if you
tough
can
guys.
can you enlarge it there, Max Zapata? Sorry,
he's
working on it. But yeah, that is a look at that picture.
Oh my God,
I mean, it's just brutal. What the? And so good.
It's a
reference.
Great shot.
Good reference, Larry Miller. All right, you want to play the hypothetical quarantine game?
Ooh.
Do you have an intro?
I was born to play
the
hypothetical quarantine game.
All right, well, let's do it.
It's the hypothetical road trip game. The game where there are no wrong answers.
We're driving to Florida!
All right, so you're going to be in quarantine with this person, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling good?
Am I?
Yes.
I'm feeling ready, Adam.
Okay.
And this is good. This is a clean slate, because maybe you haven't had the best luck with the other version, but this is a brand new clean slate version.
Yep. Here we go. I'm feeling good. Adult male who dips everything in ranch dressing, or 40-year-old guy who works at the Lego store.
Ooh. You know what? This is an easy way to start a good game.
Mm.
Because first of all, I hate people who would dip in ranch dressing. I hate the color of ranch dressing. I just hate the concept of, you think that's yours and you get to dip this and that and whatever it is you're eating in that? No, never. That guy would need a quarantine, because I'd throw him out. I would always take the 40-year-old who worked at Lego and Legoland, because he's doing something right for all the kids who love it, and he's good at it, and he can show me anything he wants in my apartment with Legos.
Mm. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry. First off, when it comes to just walking around your apartment, especially with the hardwood floors and you're barefoot, and you would rather step on a man of war in a tidal pool than step on a Lego barefoot on a hardwood floor. It's just the fact that that guy is shedding Legos as he's working on his home projects, just for the nights where you get up and it's dark and you're heading into the kitchen. Stepping on the Lego barefoot alone, that just for that reason alone, Larry, I'm sorry, but you cannot live with that guy. It's literally a bear trap. Literally.
And instead, I would hate the thought of stepping in with one of my toes on a little puddle of ranch dressing.
Yeah,
it won't hurt you. Might
it's
hurt
not
you
gonna hurt
emotionally,
you.
But
I'm
not
sorry.
Physically.
Look, we got more. We can claw our way back into this game.
All right. Do you see fear in my eyes?
No, I see confidence.
Good.
That's unearned confidence. That's what I see. All right. Let's see. Guy. All right. Woman who loudly refuses to wear a mask in Costco. Or woman who loudly asks, where is your mask in the same Costco?
Terrific question. I have such hate for them both.
Yeah.
But a woman who loudly holds forth and says, well, I'm not wearing a mask. That's why I don't need a mask. And I don't care what you think. Costco is so full of so many people who are annoying like that, I might not even notice. But someone who says, instead, you know what, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and I will stand here and berate you and yell at you, that woman, never. I would sooner take and be with the one who decides she can tell everyone what she wants and what she does. And she's the one I would stay with.
Sorry.
For what? What?
It sounded what? About right. The one who refuses to wear the mask, that she doesn't, she takes that home. That's an attitude. That's a lifestyle. Yeah. It's not just about the mask. That woman for sure is, that's your roommate. She's definitely a huge Toby Keith fan. And she's going to be cranking the Toby Keith 20. I like Toby Keith, but 24/7 in a small apartment, she's cranking that. She's got the Trump rally on Fox. She's turning that thing up. It's a lifestyle that you're going to have to deal with 24/7. It's not just her taking a stand at a Costco. I'm sorry, Larry. Let's try one more and see if we can salvage this.
Go ahead. I'll see. I won't be salvaging for me. I'll see if I can show you the truth.
All right. Guy who can't stop talking about Tiger King or the guy who's the actual Tiger King guy.
Oh, wow.
Joe Exotic.
Yes, but I can't take the guy who keeps talking about Tiger King. I can't take it. Now, the other one, who actually is the Tiger King guy, I could talk him out of it. And I could show him a different path. But the other one, who's just, I can't take a man who would talk that much about something so stupid.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, the actual Joe Exotic, he's gay. He's been incarcerated for a lot of years. Larry, you may not be a lot to someone who's been on the outside, but someone who's been on the inside and someone who misses the gentle caress of a man's touch,
Larry's prime meat.
You're going to wake up at 4 a.m. There's going to be a flower in your mouth, and you're going to feel a hand going down into those sweatpants. I'm sorry. I'm not here to gay bash it.
You may have a point there, but I still say, you know what? In both groups, I am very desirable.
Yeah. Sorry, Larry. Do we have an outro? I appreciate you playing along, though, Larry. You know, that one.
Sorry, Larry. Better luck next time you play the hypothetical road trip game.
Thank God they had the better luck next time one queued up.
Yeah. I had them both ready.
Yeah, no, you have them both ready. There's a congratulations, Larry, and then there's the better luck next time. You have to have them both queued up, not knowing, sure, of course, how this
is going to go.
You
don't know
how it's going to play out. Right.
No, of course not.
Yeah, this is as big a roll of the dice as the floating craps game Larry got into in 1982 when him and the Bowery boys were running the streets of Manhattan.
It's like when they print up a T-shirt for both teams in the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know which one you're going to give out.
It's exactly, yeah, that's exactly
that guy's
right.
His hand on your arm just tells you that's how it would feel on your neck.
All right, let's take a break. Larry will hang with us. And the Larry Miller Show is the podcast, obviously, available on Apple Podcasts as well. LarryMillerShow.com is where you go. Let's take a quick break. Come back to the news with Gina and Ball and Larry right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, a story that broke this weekend, local story that went national and in some online reports, international. Several news outlets reported over the weekend that Roger Stone, of course, the former advisor to President Trump, who was granted clemency for lying to Congress and witness tampering, and we'll call it, he uttered a pejorative. A lot of people are calling it a slur, but I think we can all agree a pejorative during a live interview on right here in Southern California, KFI AM 640. My God, I work there. 640. Wow. And this is crazy. This happened the other night. Stone referred to Mo Kelly, Morris O'Kelly, but he goes by Mo Kelly, who's a black radio host here I've been working with the last 2 weeks. During his interview on Saturday, Roger said something. Roger assumed that nobody could hear him or that he was talking to someone else in the room. He was not talking to Mo. And this was basically his reaction to a line of hard questioning regarding his conviction and subsequent clemency. And Mo Kelly, who's vocal about not being a Democrat and vocal about, you know, just sort of, you know, marching to his own drummer, claimed the clemency was granted not on merit, but, you know, because of Stone's friendship with the president. This interview went for a half hour. I pulled a minute 15, the chunk that everybody's talking about that's written up in every paper over the weekend. This is the clip, unedited. So you can hear the pauses and you can hear the discomfort. Here it is.
There are thousands of people treated unfairly daily. How your number just happened to come up in the lottery. I'm guessing it was more than just luck, Roger, right?
I don't really feel like arguing with this Negro.
I'm sorry, what was that? Roger? Roger?
Yo, shit moment.
I'm sorry, what did you say? I'm sorry, you're arguing with whom? I thought we were having just a very spirited conversation. What happened?
He's lucky he's out of prison, because that kind of talk doesn't last.
Would you not like to continue the conversation, sir?
This is uncomfortable.
He has to think of something.
I hear that the line is not dead.
You're back. I don't know what that was.
Well, interesting,
yeah,
interesting.
I was talking and you said something about Negro, so I wasn't exactly sure.
I did not.
Oh, okay.
You're out of your mind.
I don't think so. We'll let the listeners decide. Let me go to the next question then.
Whatever.
What? I've seen the Roger Stone documentary. He is a defiant, colorful figure. Like, I don't know why this is where he tries to, like, decides to draw the line of, like, no, I didn't say that. Like, everything he does, he owns 100%. Like, I may not love Roger Stone, but I at least respect it. Like, yeah, he is who he is. He's like a professional wrestling. He's a heel.
It's interesting. Yeah. He's been on with Mo before, and they were sort of granted this exclusive interview. And, you know, like you said, a spirited conversation. Doesn't go on to, you know, gotcha people, but they're going back and forth. And I don't have it in front of me, but when asked about it later, Roger Stone said something to the effect of, you don't put it past, you know, radio, in live radio, to basically edit what you're saying.
Oh, drops.
Onto him, yeah.
Is in a, look, I think
I've never used a drop of Gina before saying anything. So,
Mary Trump just sold 950,000 units of a book like the day it came out. Is he trying to just gin up as much whatever and then do a book deal? Is everybody just sort of P.T. Barnum now? Is everyone just trying for a book deal? I mean, this doesn't
really
make,
sounded.
He sounds nuts to me, but.
But he sounded like it was truly a mistake. I mean, he wasn't doing anything for showmanship. He's like, oh, God, they heard that. You know, oh, you're back. Sorry, you're cutting out. Like, he seemed.
Yeah, I get it. I don't know. I feel like I'm being gaslit by everyone now. Like, everyone. This is the same way I used to feel about bootleg porn tapes, you know, and I'd go like, Pam Anderson does not want that tape to be out there. And someone would go, oh, please. She gets $5 from every unit sold. I go, oh, please. She doesn't know. I think maybe that's what's going on with me in society. I don't know what's going on anymore. Yeah. I don't think he did it. I don't know if he knew what he was doing. He seems like an insane person to me.
Yeah.
But maybe a little crazy like a fox. Like, I don't know.
He's also, well, we can look up real quick, Chris, what Roger Stone's age is. He may not have the greatest. He may have thought he muted it, or may have thought he covered up with, like, his headphone or something. Like,
yeah, he's like 60, he has the greatest 60, grasp. 67.
He may not have the greatest grasp on technology. He's the same age as my dad or my mom, and then they're not, you know, whizzes with the phone.
But this wasn't exactly a gotcha question. I mean, after Roger Stone gets his sentence commuted and somebody asks you about how do you think you got your sentence commuted?
Well, look, we're not arguing with you. We're just saying he's an insane person. I don't know.
Oh, no, I can't explain him. Yes, and it's like, what did he think they were going to talk about?
Yes, I don't know why he grants an interview. I don't know why the Duke of Wales, you know, does an interview. Like, who sits down? Like, hey, we want to talk about you being a pedophile. Or you being whatever.
Go on.
Yes. Can do.
Okay. Do you provide hair and makeup, or shall I bring my own people in? Like, maybe lay low a little bit.
You know what? That's the good point of the discussion, because once you sit in that chair and you're hooked up with the wires on the microphone, you're dead. What do you think's going to happen? What do you think someone's going to ask you? Hey, nice day today, wasn't it?
You're
gone.
There's an interesting insight which is coming up on the next. Reasonable Doubt. Sorry, I do too many podcasts, but there's something that may backfire on Roger Stone. Now, of course, I didn't come up with this, but it's Alan Dershowitz. And Alan Dershowitz did, and so did.
Listen to this, Mr. Dershowitz. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I got to let me float a legal theory. Him and Gergas floated this theory. I'm going to dumb it down and paraphrase because I don't know the legalese. But Roger Stone can just sort of take what he's got and start walking, but he's going to fight it. I think he wants to get it stricken from the record or whatever. He's pushing back. He wants to whatever, which is fine, except for when there's an election and Trump is out and Biden's in, then Stone is now vulnerable again because I'll paraphrase and I'll also dumb it down. He's keeping this thing open. So it's basically like, shut it and walk away. I'm going to keep it open. Okay, Biden's president in 5 months, and now you're vulnerable again. You're exposed again. That was the sort of discussion we're having with Dershowitz what's his name?
Garagus.
Garagus, sorry.
Your partner of many years?
Yeah, my partner of many years, Garagus.
Roger Stone seems like a dice roller, so I think that's probably part of what he does.
Yes.
Larry. Pardon me, I'll be right back.
Go ahead, Larry. All right, sorry, go ahead.
So, more Redskins news, and this time it has nothing to do with the name. USA Today reports that 15 former female employees of the Washington's NFL team told the Washington Post they were sexually harassed while working for the club. This is according to a report on Thursday. The allegations span from 2006 to 2019 and range from inappropriate remarks about female employees' bodies to instances of verbal abuse. And the Post also details allegations of sexual harassment from two female reporters, one who still covers the team. All the allegations outlined by the Post involved men who occupied prominent roles in the organization, and three of them left this week.
Yeah,
two were fired, and one just out of nowhere announced his early retirement.
I heard about that. I'm still hell-bent on keeping the logo and changing the name to something noble. But
the Ironman.
The Ironman. Yes. With the logo staying the same. Is the Rams Stadium done? Is football going to start? What's going on?
Yeah. You know what, SoFi?
Yeah.
Well, two guys have died working on it. So I know they closed down for a while. I think one guy fell and the other one, they said it may be natural causes or a health condition, but I don't think it's done yet.
The guy who fell, I heard, caught COVID on the way down.
Oh, shit.
So
another statistic.
That's going down as a 19 death. That. Yeah, remember one guy fell. I don't know what the hell's going on with the season.
Let me say, speaking to that, I didn't see it myself, but Christy was reading me some headlines off her phone at breakfast, and she was like, oh, apparently Russell Wilson and some other very, very notable, Drew Brees might have been one of them, notable players in the NFL were raising a lot of, were basically taking it to the streets, you know what I mean? Like an internal sort of debate being spilled out in the social media to make a point. Like, it was along the lines of like, I don't know how we're supposed to play when my wife's pregnant, and I don't know how we're supposed to play with the NFL not taking this seriously, and how are they going to protect our families? And it's usually an indicator of some strife going on in the negotiations, you know what I mean? So I don't know what that means for the season. Maybe nothing. Maybe it'll get resolved. But some very notable players took to social media, apparently, according to Christy, and were airing their grievances.
Well, I'll tell you, I watched the Super Bowl. It was the Seahawks Ravens Super Bowl from, 2013, or I got to remember that. Here's the whole point. There's one good thing about getting old. Not being able to remember Mark Garagus's name is a bad sign. Watching the Super Bowl from 2013 with Ravens against the Seahawks in a barn burner of a game and having no recollection of who won that game, like just being able to watch it, like go, that's like, great. I'm just watching this game, man. There's three minutes on the clock. It's what's a fucking good game. Like, I'm telling you, I mean, look, if somebody sweated you, you'd know who won the game. But there have been enough games, enough teams have won enough Super Bowls and lost enough Super Bowls. And if you go back a few years, plus, you know, I'm drunk at the Super Bowl party anyway, so I don't have, you know, exact recollections of what's going on. I'm telling you, you can watch a Super Bowl or especially a playoff game from 10 years ago, 15 years ago, a good game, you can enjoy it. You really can. Like, I would not 49ers versus Ray. Oh, that's what I was watching. Sorry, yes. I was watching.
You're so out of it. I don't remember who was in the game you watched 2 days ago.
I was watching the Seahawks play earlier. But yes, 49ers were playing the Ravens, and it was like Kaepernick peeled off a run and scored pretty close to the end, and you're like, are they going to win this thing? Like, I was enjoying it. Now, Brian, you know, because it's your team.
It was heartbreaking.
I would know if the Rams lost or won, but if it's not your team, you can enjoy that game, man. And
Well, remember... Yeah, go ahead.
Kaepernick had quietly had good wheels, man. That guy could run.
Quietly. He was an amazing runner. He was the best part of his game.
I know, but they didn't talk about how fast he was. They just talked about that he didn't have that. He was faster than most people gave him credit for.
That was the top of his game. He was so good back then.
Yes.
That's what Ken Jennings said on this very podcast when he said, when you get older and you can't recall things as quickly, it's not because you have any sort of brain damage or, you know, there's anything wrong with you. It's because you now have, you know, 55 years of information to thumb through, whereas somebody else will only has 20 years of information to thumb through when they're trying to remember something.
I agree with Teresa. All right, let me hit McGuire's here. I don't know what's funny. Let me hit McGuire's car waxes. They've come a long way. Last year, McGuire's introduced a hybrid ceramic spray wax. It's advanced SiO2 hybrid technology, delivers ceramic wax protection and durability. No rubbing, curing, or buffing. Provides extreme water beating action. This year, McGuire's launched their liquid version, by the way. Seals the paint for long-lasting protection against the elements. Easy to use. Apply like traditional liquid wax. Also, they have the hybrid ceramic spray detailer. I love spray detailer, and I love this McGuire's as well. You don't have to wash your car out in the driveway. You do it in your garage with the spray detailer, and it smells good too. Removes contaminants like dust, fingerprints, bird droppings, and boosts the gloss, enhance the protection. Ceramic made easy. McGuire's. What else we got, Gina Grad?
Well, we're talking about sports, so want to see what you guys think of this. After nearly 4 months of delay for the start of the 2020 season, of course, for the pandemic, Major League Baseball set to return this week, and they're doing all they can to make the players feel like it's a regular season. Nothing's weird. Here's a few things they're doing. They're, as you've probably seen, fans can purchase cardboard cutouts of themselves and have them placed in various chairs around the stadium. They're miking up players like they're doing in the NBA just to make it a little more fun to watch. But the one we're going to focus on is they're going to pump in crowd noise, which makes it sound normal. But when you see it, it looks very creepy. We have a clip of what that would look and sound like in an empty, completely empty stadium. This is.
Here's what's creepy about it. Yeah, the timing is off.
Well, they have to figure out what button to push.
I should charge these teams $5,000.
I know.
To the timing of the buttons.
Many players and different franchises put up those kinds of clips, and it's just weird. But yeah. I would imagine, speaking of timing, it's a timing and it's a familiarity for the players. So it's not eerie and they're not distracted by the lack of noise, I would imagine.
It feels a little unnecessary.
It does. I would say, why not just go silent? Like it's, or, you know, a couple, a handful of whatever that you can hear the players, you know, cheering or whatever. It'd be like a college game or a minor league game.
Yeah. I mean, we've all. When I played high school baseball, there were four people in the stands. No one cared. And it was like kind of fine. Like there's something interesting about your own teammates cheering you on, like your own dugout kind of being the fans, kind of going nuts. Has baseball started yet?
It's starting in a couple days. I think it's, I want to say Nationals and Yankees.
And they're gonna pump it in. Like I said, they did.
Not everyone, but they can decide, like game by game, who wants to do it.
They did a social distancing NASCAR. They put about 30,000 people in a place that holds 150,000 people, or some version of that. They did a NASCAR race recently, a couple days back. I don't know what they're gonna do about football. Because you can't avoid all the contact and spittle and everything else that's going on and that. When is basketball start? I know I keep asking the same question.
Well, they're all down in Orlando at the Disney complex, and they're working on that right now. So they're doing like a sorry, Chris, if you can look it up. They're definitely doing an accelerated season as is baseball.
NBA is set to resume July 30th, baseball July 23rd.
Just a couple days. All right, so that's coming up. Yeah.
we talked about the NBA first, and I remember you saying, like, oh, man, but it's super hard to do this without a crowd. Because I think we're talking about boxing, maybe?
Well, so we're talking about...
in their head?
Well, the UFC's been doing it without a crowd, and it's been working out pretty well. LeBron James said several months ago that he didn't really want to do it without the crowd. But I don't know. My feeling is the show must go on. And you're talking to a guy who's done 1,000 improv shows in front of 3 people. Like, we wanted a full house over there at the Acme Theater on a Saturday night, but there was 3 people, and it's like, that's the deal. We're going to go do the show anyway. And Larry, you've run into this. I've run into this. There are nights you go out in a comedy club or theater or something. It's not at capacity. The energy's a little low for whatever reason. It's not, you know, it's not bustling with laughter and energy and excitement. And it's like, this is what makes you a professional. So you have to go out there and deliver that same show. It could be a third show or a late show or a weekday second show or something. And the place is a third full and people are distracted and drunk and you can hear the guys making nachos in the kitchen and stuff. And being a professional is going out and performing in that environment.
Always.
Right?
Always. Always. And in the end, it doesn't matter because it can't matter. What's wrong with anyone who says, well, it's too difficult to go out? No, it's not. You go out there and you have your arms spread with a big smile and say, you know what? Hiya, folks. And here's my show. And there's a... I had a producer of corporate jobs. Those are ones where it's not a nightclub, it's not a theater, but these were folks, the 100 best-selling bond salesmen in the world. And so it was just 100 fellas, and it was in a really nice hotel somewhere in Florida. And when I got there, the guy said to me, now, the producer said, just to let you know, they're Japanese and they don't speak English. And to me, I for that second said, all right, fine. Because you know what? That's fine. I went up there. I didn't change the topic. I didn't sweat. I didn't do anything. I performed and I smiled and I was glad to be there. And do you know what? And this was like a 45-minute show, right about 20 minutes in. They started to smile and nod and chuckle too. Didn't know a word I was saying, but you know, when I got off and I was sincerely happy, I bowed my head and waved once, and they gave me such a nice hand. And the producer said to me, as we walked off, he gave me the check, and backstage he said to me, do you know why I always like to hire you? And I said, why is that? And he said, you're the first comedian I've ever hired who, in a situation like this, didn't speak for, well, just talk for 2 or 3 minutes in front of a group that doesn't speak English and then just yelled, you know, fuck you, and throws the mic on the stage and storms off. He said, you're the first one who doesn't do that and is here and entertains and makes people happy they saw you. And you know what? That's a great compliment. But I said, I'm the only one. He said, the only one. And well, it's, I think, the same sort of thing. What's wrong with that? And if it's raining and storming or blizzarding and it just doesn't matter. Nothing matters. You know what? You do your job. There are plenty of sets I had with 2 people in the audience at the comic strip in the early days, and nothing wrong with that. Because you say that, and you say to them, you do your stuff, and then at the end of the set, I always used to say, now, folks, there are a couple of comedians left, and they would sure be happy if you stuck around so they could get a good show in, too, and they could work, too. And they always stayed. They never left. What? And...
let me cut you off and also add that you end up punishing the people who did come to the show.
Yes.
It's like, yes. Why are we punishing the five people who came to the show because the 150 people that didn't show up aren't being punished? These people bought a ticket and showed up. The idea that you would give them grief is insane. They're the ones who are there. And so many comedians do that. They punish the people who are physically there.
That's exactly right. And by the way, insane is the right word. What are you doing? What's the point of anything? Leave the people alone there, and it may be 2:30 in the morning on a Tuesday night. Who cares? You do your stuff. You bow your head, you smile, say thank you very much, and you head off, and someone else comes up, and if he or she is sane also, they do their show, and they do the best they can. And I'll bet you a dollar, when those two people leave, at the end of the night, they're as happy as clams, and they go back to their hotel, and then they get hookers. But you know what? Till that,
should have brought them to the show.
That's right. By the way, you should have had them on the show. But yes,
Gina, let's do one more, please.
All right. Well, why don't? Let's do this. A very, very solemn RIP to some beloved menu items at Taco Bell. So this is kind of out of nowhere. And I was thinking, Brian, I don't know if Christy has any thoughts on this, because I think she works with them sometimes, right?
Yeah, they're a client of her company's, but she doesn't work that closely.
Okay.
But go on. I'll get her thoughts.
I'm going to need to pull some strings on a couple of these.
I will tell you, the ones from my childhood that are gone is that...
What's it called?
The Bell Beefer. The Bell Beefer was awesome. It was like a dry, sloppy Joe. It was essentially the Bell. It was you know, hamburger bun,
loose meat
with the onion. Sorry, with the cheese and the beef and everything. It was just, it tasted good. Like you could imagine what a Bell Beefer tasted.
They really missed opportunity not calling it a sloppy Jose.
They also had a tostada, which was the flat shell. That had been deep fried. No, the tostada. Did they have the tostada?
Probably a tostada salad.
They had a tostada. It was like beans and whatever. The tostada was pretty awesome. They also just had a cup, and it was like the frijoles. It was just like the beans with the melted cheese on top of it, which was delectable. I miss all three of those, but yes, go ahead.
Here's a cacophony of things. I don't know what's going to be left over there that you can add to the list. And they're doing this because they want to simplify. They said simplify an effort to make ordering faster, safer, and easier for workers and customers. This is according to Fox News. So apparently some of these are either too complicated or don't allow you to socially distance yourself from your coworker. I don't know. But for whatever reason, for safety and health reason, these items are being removed, so run, don't walk to Taco Bell before they're gone. The grilled steak soft taco, the 7-layer burrito, the nacho supreme, the beefy Fritos burrito, spicy tostadas, triple layer nachos, spicy potato soft taco, cheesy fiesta potatoes, loaded grillers, I don't know what that is, chips and dips, and lastly, the mini skillet bowl from the breakfast menu. So they are really paring down.
I my whole thing with all this stuff, and I never really get it. It's like when people would get the lobster bisque sub at the Subway, like just you've got to just choke up and make contact. Yep. Like
don't get cute.
Right. Just get a turkey and get some cheese on there. Like go to the Taco Bell, just get the bean burrito, cheese, tell them to put some onion and some tomato on it. It'll be fine. Don't go with the steak fajita, triple cheese, guaca, gordita. Like it's never going to work. Like what makes you think you can go to a Taco Bell and get a decent cut of steak? Why would you do that? Why not just choke up and get sort of the basics? Yes, right.
In a world where Taco Bell intentionally calls things beefy so as not to imply that it's beef,
right?
Yes. Why would you do that?
I don't know, but the old Taco Bells had a fire pit out front. Could you imagine?
They were classy joints.
They had a big old fire pit with lava rocks in them. Remember when lava rocks were a thing? And they just have that fire burning right out there. The best thing ever is you take your straw and you'd tear the piece of paper off the end and you'd pull it back, you'd cinch it back a little, and then you just poof it and shoot that, give it a Viking funeral. You just
flaming
shoot
arrow.
That thing right over the top. And you want to know how devoid my childhood was of entertainment? Think about the 19 ways you'd entertain yourself with a straw.
Oh, yeah, the snake.
You'd wrap it up tight around your fingers and flick it.
There's that. There was the snake move with the wrapper. Yep. There was the part where you put your thumb over it and then lift it up. But I mean, just trying to entertain ourselves like we're in convicts in solitary confinement with a straw. Sorry,
guys. You guys ever find yourself at a diner, like where you order a sandwich and they give you a frilly toothpick? If you put that frilly toothpick inside the straw, that's a fucking poison dart, man.
Yes. Yeah. Dip it in Karari and take out a guy at the counter. Yeah. No, I know just the notion that that was a form of entertainment for us, a straw. And that there are things you could do with the wrapper. There are things you could do with the straw itself.
Oh, man. And if you got a bendy straw, you were going to a ritzy place and your parents were rich.
Ritzy.
By the way, I still can't believe that no one in elementary school lost an eye from all the wrapper puffing we did, which was every day.
Right. Yeah.
Those things shot off. It had to be about 8 miles an hour.
If you got the gold, the silver foil gum wrapper, that flew pretty well.
Yeah, don't forget to ball up your straw paper and do football, or soccer across the booth.
Football. Table. Yeah.
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 We did that with nickels though across the table.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, JB Weld, proud sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show, the epoxy adhesive brand we use here, and pros and DIYers use it both, and trusted for over 50 years. Available at jbweld.com, retailers everywhere, including Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. JB Weld it, man. Larry Miller, you can shoot him a tweet at Larry J. Miller. And you can also listen to his fine podcast, The Larry Miller Show, available on Apple Podcasts as well. Website, LarryMillerShow.com as well. Good to see you as per usual, my friend.
Same here.
I look forward to seeing you soon in person. I'm going to be in Dallas. I'm going to be at the Addison Improv coming up this Friday and Saturday doing stand-up and live podcasts there as well. You can come on out and say hi. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows and subscribe to our YouTube. You can watch a stand-up there for free, our YouTube channel. And I'm your emotional support animal. Go ahead and get that book, if you will, on Amazon and give it a review. I'll read it. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Larry Miller and Paul Bryan and Gina Grad, whose hair looks amazing, saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up Adam's new book. I'm your emotional support animal. Get all the links at AdamCarolla.com.
Well, let me tell you about Geico. Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. So you probably got one of those. Maybe got all those. That's 15% on top of the money Geico already saves you because they do such a great job. So what are you waiting for? Take care of business and take care of it with Geico. It's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit Geico.com.